Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bridget Scott, how are we doing this week? Anything going on? Any hockey news to talk about?
Just Stanley Cup Final and Bruce Cassidy. Two wins away from winning a Stanley Cup, from doing what, you know, Bruins came up short of doing in 2019. And I feel like, you know, I feel like that's all the talk around here is Bruce Cassidy is going to beat the Bruins to a cup. First year away, he's looks like he's going to get it done. You know, I think we've learned you can't count out the Panthers. Came back from 3-1 down against the Bruins, but man, Vegas has really just dominated that this series so far, and looks like Sergei Bobrovsky's magic has kind of worn off, and I don't know if that Panthers team has it to come back against Vegas. That's a really tall hill to try to climb.
Yeah, and I last episode we said, or was it last episode, where we were giving our predictions, and Scott and I both said Vegas in seven. Brian, did you say in six? I mean, it looks like it could be even shorter at this point, but never count the Panthers out, though. So that's one thing for sure. But it does seem like they're outmatched and their depth has been exposed by Vegas's depth for sure. And Hill's been playing really well in net for them. So the storyline that we have been following from both sides has been the, you know, the Tkachuks of the world, like we talked about last week. Would it have been a good move for the Bruins to try to get Tkachuk, even if it meant trading Pastrnak, because of all the things Tkachuk has brought to the Panthers in the playoffs? And this round, it hasn't made a difference for the Panthers yet. He has, you know, found himself a subject of conversation again with the hit on Eichel. His physicality, he continues to bring it. But then when you look at the rest of the Panthers team, their depth just isn't there, especially offensively. And then Gudas took that big hit, or, I mean, technically it's kind of him trying to hit Barbashev, but he ends up getting hurt. That's a key injury if, you know, if he's not able to play or if he's not 100%. So that's what you're dealing with Florida. And then in Boston, the storyline is the Bruce Cassidy thing for sure, because we can play hypothetical, and we did a few times when the season ended before we knew that Cassidy's team was about to make the finals. So now that they're there and only two wins away from winning a Stanley Cup potentially, it definitely just adds more fuel to the narrative that, you know, did the Bruins make a mistake moving on for him, and what would their season have looked like? How far would they have gotten if they'd kept him? And that's something that we want to start out the podcast with. So Brian, this is something that I know you want to vent about a little bit, so we'll go to you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to pick at here, a lot on this bone to pick at. It's not so much a venting session. Like, I texted you guys before the podcast recording, and I totally admit that Bruce Cassidy's message was stale in Boston, and that the players weren't responding to him, and that a change, rightfully or wrongfully so, needed to take place. Fine. What annoys me And the question that I still have is, why was his message growing stale? Like Bruce Cassidy, I understand he might be a little bit in your face, but one thing he doesn't lack is transparency. So from my perspective, because players just didn't like hearing from him what they were doing wrong so often, what they needed to do better, I guess simply put, it makes me feel like a lot of players in that room were just a little bit mentally soft, and it was kind of a mutiny. And you know, to know the story about Jake DeBrusk and Cassidy and how they didn't get along, that's one thing, right? You could see that on TV watching the games. Like, they just didn't really get along too well. But when you have leaders like Bergeron and Marchand and guys that have been around the block playing on that, in that Foligno, like, I just don't understand why the veterans, instead of being taking the coach's side and being like, guys, if you want to succeed in this league, you have to be able to handle tough love. Instead of going with that approach and knowing that Bruce Cassidy is doing it because he cares and he wants the best out of them, it just seems like everybody just took the side, like the player sides, and like they just felt bad for themselves. And so I'm not debating that the message didn't grow stale and that a change wasn't needed. I'm just asking why, because clearly this Bruins team didn't excel with a new coach in the playoffs this year. So you watch Bruce Cassidy, and not only is he going to potentially win a Stanley Cup, but he's going to do so by eliminating the team potentially in four games that beat Boston this year in the first round. So I just think that it's fair to question if the players just lacked a little bit of mental fortitude under a hard-nosed coach. That's all I'm saying. And if that's the case, that just pisses me off, because you have to be able to take that if you want to win, and you can't just have your ass wiped because you're a professional athlete. Like, you have to be able to grin and bear some tough love. And I just feel like maybe they got to enjoy going to work better every day without Bruce Cassidy, big bad Bruce Cassidy around. But you know what, maybe if they stuck with him a little bit longer and maybe just bought into him a little bit more and didn't allow his message to grow so stale, because maybe they'd be hoisting a Stanley Cup, or I don't know. It's tough to go back in time and stuff, and it's revisionist history. I just don't like it, because the 2011 Bruins team we watched win the Stanley Cup would have never been like pouty and, oh, we need a coaching change. And it just speaks to a lack of maturity maybe. But that surprised me, because there's a lot of mature guys that have been around. So I'm just confused by the whole situation. And to see it playing out the way that it is for Bruce Cassidy, it just makes you wonder. And I think it's fair based on how Boston played this spring.
Yeah, I think it's fair, but I also think, like, there was a long time when the players did buy in and did listen, and the leaders did work with Cassidy to try to get through to younger guys. And my feeling on this has always kind of been like, I just think, especially in hockey, like, almost any coach's message eventually gets stale. Like, if you look at, I looked this up yesterday. Do you know how many coaches in the NHL right now have been in their current jobs for longer than 5 years?
Mike Sullivan?
Three out of 32 coaches have been in their current job for longer than 5 years. Mike Sullivan, one, John Cooper, and Jared Bednar out in Colorado. So there's a lot of turnover, and like, obviously, a lot of those teams, you know, aren't successful, aren't making the playoffs every year. But even ones who are pretty frequently in the playoffs tend to make changes. You know, I think Cassidy does have a style that can, over time, grade on players. And yeah, it's absolutely fair to look at the players and say, well, be tougher. You know, so what? Tough shit. But, you know, it's not like it was just that he was critical of them. We also heard things about the ways that he was sometimes critical, where it'd be, you know, like almost like comments under his breath on the bench that players would hear, or, you know, they'd make a mistake and he'd like immediately just bench them, say like, you're not taking the next shift or something like that. And it led to feelings of, you know, I can't screw up because I'm not going to play the rest of the game or the rest of the period if I do. And again, if you want to take the stance that, hey, tough shit, that's the NHL, get over it, like, I think that's fair. I also just think that the days of players having to put up with tough love are vanishing across all sports. Like, I think more and more we're seeing that players, coaches, by and large, tend to have more success and tend to do better with today's players. So, you know, like I do understand why some Bruins players felt like, you know, like they're kind of getting sick of hearing from Cassie and kind of getting sick of some of the ways that, you know, he would react on the bench when there was a mistake. You know, I don't think it was like a mass, like this long line of players, like outside Don Sweeney's office demanding for him to be fired. But I think there was the openness of them telling Sweeney, you know, look, he's not really getting through to some guys anymore. And his message is wearing on some guys. And I think Don Sweeney heard that and felt like if we're making one or two more runs at this, it might be time for a different voice. And it's the same decision they made before when they fired Claude Julien, you know, another really good coach whose style and message had just kind of gotten stale. Like players felt like they were being restricted under Claude Julien and, you know, couldn't play like the way that they wanted to. And so that became time for a change there. It's, you know, Bruce Cassidy replaced a really good coach here. He replaced a really good coach in Vegas and Pete DeBoer. So I think, you know, criticism of Bruins players, totally fair, but I also like still can't sit here and be like, oh, they made a mistake letting him go, because I kind of just think, you know, when you get to 5-6 years with one coach, like more often than not, it does get stale and it kind of becomes time for a change.
Yeah. But like, I understand that, and people will say, you know, would all the players have come back if Cassidy was the coach? What, you know, what would the dynamic have been like with that? But just remember, when they were in the playoffs, the last series against Carolina with Cassidy as the coach, he was pushing the right buttons, and it was the guys on the team that just were not playing to the standard that they needed to.
I remember second guessing Cassidy. Like I thought he waited too long in that series to put Pastrnak on the top line. Like I thought he had him buried with Eric Halla on that second line where they were just getting demolished in their own zone and not even getting offensive chances. Like I thought he stuck with that too long in that series.
We were all saying that it would be a scapegoat move. At the time, we were all saying that it would be a scapegoat move to blame Cassidy for the exit in that round. And to be the guy that takes the blame for some of the other issues, which, you know, we were blaming on Don Sweeney, the adding the wrong pieces, like adding Eric Halla, you know, not necessarily, that was a year that Foligno didn't play great. There were some moves made in the offseason that we were blaming Sweeney for, and saying that you kind of gave Cassidy not a lot to work with, but he did what he could with what he had. And, you know, he would have had even more to work with this season. He would have had Lindholm for a full season. You look at the way that he maybe would have handled the goalie situation differently, which obviously we can criticize the goalies from last playoffs, but he was willing to make the switch. I don't know. It's all revisionist, of course, but I think, Brian, what you were talking about with, you know, why did the players let it get stale? That's the big question. Like, were they giving up on him for just personality reasons? Was the message not really working? It clearly is working in Vegas. So, it's hard to say, but I don't know. I didn't really think Cassidy needed to go yet. Cassidy himself said he was pretty shocked when he had that meeting with Sweeney and Sweeney let him go. And it wasn't like he was on his way out. Like it wasn't an obvious thing that, oh yeah, you know, cut ties with the coach. It seemed like that was, you know, it wasn't even 100. I'm not even sure Don Sweeney was 100% sure that he wanted to do it. So it's definitely worth talking about. And Sweeney did lead the team to a final in 2019. Obviously we know what happened with that, but and we talked about this, when you have a group that the Bruins had that, you know, it's their last window and they had one of the best teams that we've ever seen. You want a guy more than likely, you want a guy, a coach that has playoff experience, more playoff experience. Cassidy has more playoff experience than Montgomery does. And it's hard to say, you know, the Bruins would have made it farther or not, but it is easy to see that Cassidy was still a great coach and still does a good job in the playoffs, even though he's doing it with Vegas. And it just adds a little bit of salt in the wound.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, at the end of the day, I just felt that none of us were sitting here this time last year saying that the reason the Bruins lost to the Hurricanes was because of coaching. The reason the Bruins lost last year is because personnel wise, they lost their number two center in the summertime and just didn't adequately replace that play. I mean, like, Eric Holla was fine, but the Bruins were a top two center short last year. And that just kind of trickled throughout the rest of the lineup and it affected where you put Pasternak, right, Scott? I mean, that was a balancing act. That's what that was. So, I mean, I don't really recall us too often last year saying put Pasternak with Bergeron and Marchand, because if you remember, Holla and Pasternak were pretty good the second half of the year, and it did help balance out the lines. And Jake DeBrusk did have a better bounce back second half of the season. So, yeah, there were times in the Hurricane series where maybe it was appropriate, and I do remember them doing that. But I just – the biggest thing for me is he wasn't the reason that they lost last year. And the only time I consider, like, if you think about Bruce Cassidy's tenure in Boston – His first season, he took over halfway through. They lost to the Senators in round one. They were a goal away from the Stanley Cup Finals, the Senators team.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The following year, you beat Toronto. You lost to a juggernaut in Tampa. The following year, you go to the Cup Finals. You lose in Game 7. That one, we all believe that Bruins left one up there. And then in the following year is the bubble. Like, you can chalk that up to that. I do think that Bruce Cassidy was potentially outcoached in the Islanders series. I didn't see a reason the Bruins should have lost that series. But then the Hurricane series, it just – the personnel wasn't there. So, for me, I just – and like I said, I know that once the players feel that the message is stale and a change needs to happen, I understand it's happening. And to your point, Scott, shelf life, I get it. What annoys me is just – I just – it's fair to question now. Why was the message stale? Is it because he really was that bad of a guy, or is it because the players just like they just I don't know, like, but whatever the reason, I just feel like Bruce Cassidy, if he had this Bruins roster, and that's a big if, because you guys will say, and not you two in particular, but people will say, like Bridget mentioned, certain guys may not have come back had Cassidy been here. And to that, I say that's bullshit. Cause it's like,
yeah,
well, do you like, that's insane. Like the guy, like a 667 winning percentage as a coach. He wasn't the devil. But if he had this roster, like you're not losing to Florida. And I just feel like if the Bruins, the only way that this could have been, and believe me, like losing in the first round is torture for this Bruins franchise. But as it turns out, if the Bruins did go to the Cup Finals, and you never know about the butterfly effect, but I don't think there's an interconference butterfly effect happening here. I think if the Bruins went to the Finals, Vegas still would have done their thing and got to the Finals. So if Bruce Cassidy beat the Bruins in the Cup Finals this year, that would be just a movie script ending for him, and that would be a really tough pill for the Bruins to swallow. And I got to be honest, last year when he went to Vegas in the offseason, I kind of thought that. I was like, what if the Bruins – like, of course – the Bruins will probably play Vegas if they go to the finals this year. And that is how it would have played out. And if it did play out that way, I think Cassidy probably would have beaten the Bruins just because he knows so much about them. And I don't know. So anyway, it's a fun conversation. It's I'm really happy for Cassidy. Like I clearly want him to win. I have like he deserves it so much. Like he was a great coach here. I'm very happy for him. So hopefully he can finish the job. It's just definitely, it's of course this is how it goes for the Bruins, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd also like to see him win. Like, famously, he was always very good with us in the media. You know, if you listen to some of the whispers, maybe sometimes too good and too honest with us, and that's another thing that, you know, I think players didn't like sometimes is, you know, because he would always say, well, I don't tell you guys anything I haven't told them, and I think that was accurate. However, I think there's also things that players probably wanted to keep behind closed doors that he was willing to tell the media.
But Scott, do you ever recall being in a media session and thinking he like crossed the line with any of that stuff though? Like, was there anything that stuck out to you where you're like, oh, he shouldn't have said that about DeBrus?
See, or, like, not to me, because like
me neither.
I'm in the media, so I want to hear that stuff. And like,
no, but you like, know, you still have a gauge of what might negatively affect the locker room if you say it.
I mean, that there were times though where like I would think where he would say something critical about a player, and it would like at least cross my mind that like he's probably not gonna be thrilled that he said that type thing. Never did I think it was like, oh my god, like he's just like attacking this guy and tearing him down. Like, I never thought that, but there were definitely times where I thought like, player's probably not gonna be too thrilled that he's telling us that.
The way, like his issues with Jake DeBrus are the ones that are like most prominent. But if you recall, when DeBrus started playing better, he started rewarding DeBrus with better shifts on better lines. It wasn't
and
unfair.
Spoke very positively about him, like towards the end of last year.
Yeah. It was
just to like address one other thing though. So on last year's loss, I wasn't trying to make it sound like they lost because of Cassie or anything. Like you're right. Like we cover that. Obviously he wasn't the reason they lost. I'm just saying, like, I think there's been a little bit of revisionist history trying to make it sound like Cassidy didn't make mistakes or like wouldn't have made mistakes that Montgomery made this year, and I just think he did. I think every coach does, and so like that's why I was highlighting that of like, I think there was last year in that series, like Cassidy at times was too slow to make adjustments. Just like, you know, I think this time you can rip Montgomery for being too adjustment happy and throwing his lines in a blender. You know, you mentioned like Cassidy was quicker to make a goalie change last year. Fair. The year before he was too slow. He stuck with Tuukka Rask too long while he was dealing with a torn hip labrum. So, you know, yes, Bruce Cassidy was and is a great coach. I'm certainly not arguing against that. I just want to highlight, like, he's also not perfect. Like, he did make mistakes. And
My last point about him, and just to make the comparison with Montgomery, which is why that this story gets a little bit more fuel, is because one of the criticisms about Montgomery after this playoffs was that he maybe let the players make too many of the decisions on their own, and Cassidy would not have done that. Cassidy was more in control, I feel, of the situation.
I remember lots of times where Cassidy said he deferred to Bergeron too. So
I'm more so talking about Allmark.
Well, I just said it to 2021 against the Islanders when they stuck with Tuukka Rask. Cassidy's explanation was, I talked to him and he said he's good to go.
Yeah, but so, I also feel like
it's literally the same exact mistake.
His relationship with Tuukka was different though, because Tuukka had been with the program for a long time, and like Ullmark is kind of a newer person that came in while Cassidy was there, and I just think that the dynamic would be different, especially after, you know, learning his lesson with Tuukka. Especially, I'm not sure if he would have messed around with the injuries and kind of let the players say whether or not they were ready as much as Montgomery did. There's just very different coaches, very different styles of coaching. I wonder how he would have handled the defensive rotation with Grzelcyk, with Clifton. I wonder how he would have handled that differently. I highly doubt he would have thrown everything in the blender, like you mentioned, because chemistry, you know, not wanting to mess with the chemistry of some of those lines. It's hard to say, you know, do they have as great a season? Probably not. Like, the record probably doesn't get broken, but then if we're talking about a team that makes the playoffs still, like, I kind of would have rather had Cassidy pushing the buttons back there. Maybe that's just because we saw how disastrous some of the decisions were by Montgomery. Was it game five? That was the time they started with the crazy lines and switched back to some of their normal stuff pretty quickly. But like, I don't think he's got too much experience to just try something crazy and new that they don't know if it works in the playoffs like that.
So I know this conversation started with Bruce Cassidy and just because of the relevancy of him being in the finals and the Bruins getting rid of him. But I think for me, and if this were like a psychiatry lesson and I was talking to a therapist or something like that, I think for me, it's really difficult for me to admit because I love these players. I think deep down, like, I'm actually just like pretty annoyed at like Bergeron and Marchand, I think, because they're Hall of Fame players, certainly for the Bruins, and Bergeron, NHL Hall of Famer, Brad Marchand. I mean, you make an argument already.
I think he'll be in.
Mm-hmm, me too. Like, they are truly two of my favorite players I've ever watched. And so for me, it's like certain things pop into my brain because the coach, because to your point, Scott, coaches change, rosters change, but there have been some, they have been, and I know they won the Stanley Cup in 2011. I'm with you on that. Like, I get it. But they've been part of some just like really inexplainable efforts, in my opinion, in some really big games and under three different coaches. And I'm going to give three different game sevens that pop into my mind with each coach that I just was asking where they were. And the first one would be 2004. So there's 2012, the year after they won the cup, and you lost to the Capitals in seven at home in the first round. And that was an upset, right? You're the cup champions, and you kind of lost on a, you know, Joel Ward scored, but I think Tyler Seguin had the only goal of the game for you. And he was like diving in the crease. And like, so you lost that one. You lost 2014 to Montreal at home. That was a dud of a game. Bruins just no showed. That's under Claude Julien. Bruce Cassidy, of course, 2019. People rewrite that game to sit there and say Jordan Binnington just stood in his head and he's the only reason that the Blues won that game. It's not true. Like, the Bruins outplayed the Blues in the first period, but the ice was not as tilted as people remember it. And then the last 40 minutes of that game, the Bruins got completely outplayed and no-showed game seven. And then, of course, with Jim Montgomery this year, they literally no-showed the first 40 minutes of game seven. I know Krejci had a power play goal, but like the Garden was booing.
That was some of the worst hockey I've seen.
It was. And so for me, there's different examples of game sevens in Boston where under Claude Julien, Bruce Cassidy, and Jim Montgomery, regardless of the coach, regardless of the surrounding rosters, some of the Bruins' key core players over the last decade plus just have failed to perform in those moments. And I know there's other ones where they have. I know. Game seven, all the game sevens in 2011, game seven in 13 against Toronto. I get it. Even that game against Toronto, they were down. Like, we all know they were down. That was even the first 50 minutes of that game, the Bruins sucked. So But I guess I'm just like, as somebody who's watched this team like my whole life and I've cheered for them, I've like watched almost every game and I love these players. I think part of me, I am mad at the players because time and time again, like, they have failed and oftentimes not shown up in these big moments. And it's like, how many times can you sit there and just let that happen and sit there and just lick your wounds before you learn? And I know they won an 11, but and now it could be all be for naught. And so it's part of their legacy. And I'm beyond the coaches, like, there are constants with this team of every time you've come up short in these games and really like not shown up, like those, like a couple of key players have always been there.
Yeah. I don't know. And 2018, 2019 against Toronto, two other wins. But Brian, I think you're getting towards something that I've started thinking about more, only because I feel like I've heard this. I expected to hear this from talk radio shows and have, but just from like friends and fans, like people who are like legitimately really frustrated with the players and, or who are like cheering for Cassidy in Vegas, not just because they like Cassidy, but also like almost in to spite the Bruins, because they're just like so annoyed by this whole situation of they got, you know, a good popular coach fired basically and then choked in the first round. And what's crossed my mind is like, is this actually going to like have an effect on some of these guys' legacies? Like if Bergeron and Krejci do retire this offseason, like the final lasting image of the end of their careers is that choke job in round one. And then the coach that they didn't like winning the Stanley Cup, like in his first year away from Boston. I mean, that's tough. Like, obviously those guys are ultimately like in the big picture are always going to be loved, and they're going to get their days when their numbers are retired and like they'll be legends forever. I'm not saying it like ruins their legacy or anything like that, but I do think like this is kind of becoming part of it. And especially the idea that they left at least one, arguably two cups on the table. You know, we don't know how this would have played out had they held on against Florida. You know, maybe they run into trouble in another round. Maybe they run into trouble now in the finals against Vegas. But there does seem to be like, there's now been enough years of disappointment that, you know, 2011 gets further and further in the rearview mirror. And it's, a lot of disappointment and a lot of letdowns since then that I think don't totally overshadow that, but certainly factor into the equation and are part of it, just like 2011 is part of it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.